There is a Christmas song that I just love. It's one of those that we don't all sing together most of the time. It's one that we listen to. It's a song called "O Holy Night." The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Tonight, we celebrate the night that God, from the very beginning, God, the creator of the stars in the sky, how God, the infinite, became finite, became a human. That's something extraordinary, isn't it? A human. Now in flesh, appearing flesh, like me and you. That's really something to celebrate, something to wrap our minds around. Human, how are you doing, humans? You having a good evening so far? If I was to ask you how you were doing, I bet you would say, fantastic. Made it out here in the cold, and it is cold out there and dark, right? But you made it here, and you're doing well, right? Okay? And some of you, maybe if you are honest, there are things that you just don't want to share, especially in a good Christmas greeting. You know, most of the people that you met tonight, if you ask them how they were doing, they said, fantastic, pretty good. Excited to share the Christmas season, but Christmas is hard for some folks. Some folks have, you know, pain and hurt and darkness that we don't even mention. We don't even say it out loud. And it's there. It's all kinds of darkness and pain and that's part of it. Part of being human, I guess. Being vulnerable. Now, there are some people that are missing somebody, and you know that you'll miss them forever. You have hope of one day seeing them again in heaven. It's a hope. But it feels kind of vulnerable, doesn't it? Kind of, well, human. So take a deep breath. And notice that you have a breath. And notice that you have a pulse, right? That everybody's still alive. Yeah. Everybody's still alive. You've got skin. And maybe for some of you, if you're like me, you feel kind of a weariness in your feet. Anybody feel that? In your feet, maybe the shoes that you're wearing are your dress shoes that aren't quite your comfortable loafers. There's kind of a weariness in your feet. Or maybe your stomach. Did anybody have a good meal before they came? Anybody hungry? Maybe your stomach is rustling a little bit. Is it wrestling or rustling? It's both, right? Maybe you didn't have enough to eat. And then there's your heart. And if you're really honest, your heart, if it's like mine, it's filled with hope and fear. And the miracle that we celebrate is that God said, I want to be that. I want to be like that. I want to know what that's like to be human, to be vulnerable, to be a baby. A baby. That's the story that we tell on Christmas Eve. It's the story that I've heard for 48 times now, 48 seasons. I've heard the same story. And I thought of my friend Don Hilkemeyer. We celebrated his life just a few weeks ago. And when we did, we sang his favorite hymn. And his favorite hymn, now I have, unless somebody changed my page, it's hymn number 156, I Love to Tell the Story. And as we were celebrating Don's life, and Don loved to tell the story, as we were celebrating Don's life, there was a verse in this song that caught me off guard, and it's so true. It's the verse, I love to tell the story, it's pleasant to repeat. It seems each time I tell it, wonderfully sweet. But then it goes on to say, it's the old story that I've loved so long. It's the old story. But then the last verse, it says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best are hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. What a truth that is. We want to hear the story. We know the story. The Christmas story normally starts off in Luke's gospel. chapter 2 with the words, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, each into his own region. And that happened when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in the Galilee." And it goes on from there. I was in the car with my son. I was talking about wanting to tell the Christmas story again. And I started talking about the Holy Land. You know, we're going to the Holy Land in January. Can hardly wait. And we're going to go to a place called Ein Kerem. And I said, "Well, you know what happened in Ein Kerem, right?" And he didn't know. And I said, "Well, that's where Zechariah and Elizabeth were from." And he's like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, that's part of the Christmas story, but it's kind of like the prequel to the Christmas story." And so I thought I would start with that this evening, and to say that the long-expected Jesus is all through the pages of the Old Testament. They were expecting. The prophecy had said that Jesus would come, or the Messiah would come. But before he came, there was going to be someone who came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And we know, in hindsight, that that's going to be John the Baptist. But the story starts in Luke 1 with Zechariah. "So in the days that Herod was king in all Judah..." I'm going to sit down to tell this story. I hope that's okay. I'll sit down and tell it on this starry night. Imagine a campfire. But Zechariah was the temple priest, and it was a very exciting time for him because he had been chosen by lots to light the incense in the temple. It was a big deal for him. And he was doing the best that he could with life, but he was kind of filled with some inner turmoil because, you see, he couldn't have a baby, he and his wife Elizabeth. And he was older, you know, older than that. Older than baby having time, right? And his wife Elizabeth, well, he knew that she was... what's the expression? No spring chicken? He didn't say that out loud. He was smart enough not to say that out loud. But he knew it. And the older that I get, the more of a miracle this seems to be. Right? But it goes back to the great story of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. They couldn't have children. And so this one day that he was lighting the incense in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. Just Zechariah. All the people outside were waiting on him to come out after lighting the incense. And the angel told him that he would... Well, first the angel said what angels always say: "Zechariah, fear not." Nobody comes into the Holy of Holies. You know, it's a scary thing anyway. So it says, "Fear not, for I bring you good news. You and your wife will have a baby. And he will be in the spirit and power of Elijah." And Zechariah said a whole lot of stuff. I think he kind of mumbled, but basically he said, "This is not going to work. I can't even believe it. I'm so old, blah, 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 blah." And he kept on saying stuff. And Gabriel got kind of incensed, right? Is that how? Yeah, kind of upset, I think, at him saying all that stuff. And Gabriel said, "Wait a minute, hey. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and everybody here, and I'm telling you, you and your wife are going to have a baby. And just because you ask that question, just because you keep on talking, you're not going to be able to say anything until all this stuff comes to pass." And you know what Zechariah said? Nothing. He comes out of the temple, and everybody's waiting, and he can't say anything. But sure enough, Elizabeth is expecting a child. And when she was 6 months pregnant, the story kind of zooms out a little bit to this small town, this tiny little town in the hill country of Judea called Nazareth. And if you're really paying attention to Old Testament prophecy, you know that Nazareth is from the word netzer, which means root or shoot. You know, like from the tree that's been cut down, and then there's a shoot that forms and comes from where everything had been cleared off, like the root of Jesse's tree. Yeah, that's in the Old Testament. And it was a prophecy. So that Nazareth had extra meaning, you see. And it's a little bitty town. And Mary is hanging out there. And all of a sudden, Gabriel, the same angel, appears to Mary. And he says, "Greetings, favored one." And he said something like, "You know, you're beautiful with God's beauty." And he said, "You're going to have a baby. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and you're going to have a baby. You're going to get pregnant with God's baby." Mary said, "How could this be? I've never been with a man. I know how this all works." And the angel explained to her, all things are possible with God. And she said the words, I think she kind of sang the words. She's saying, "Let it be unto me just as you have said." And that even inspired future songs like "Let It Be" from the Beatles, based on that very event right there. "Let it be." That's what Mary said. And so then the angel said, "Hey, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant too, even though she's super old." And Mary was like, "Really? Yeah." And he said, go see Elizabeth in Ein Kerem. You'll find her there. It's real near Bethlehem." And so she goes all the way from Nazareth to Ein Kerem. She knocks on the door and greets Elizabeth. And now this was one of those greetings. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around expectant mothers. Anybody? Been around expecting mothers? There is a glow, okay? Yeah, there's one here. There's a glow, you know? You might not even be able to see it, but I think you could probably see it. And if you're there and you saw these expectant mothers together and you're a guy, you probably better not say anything. So I think it was really wise of God because Mary shows up and Elizabeth says, "Hello." And Zechariah says, "Nothing." When Mary greeted Elizabeth, the baby inside of Elizabeth's womb jumped. It was so overjoyed. And Mary, she kind of took it all in, and then she broke out in song. And it was a song that was so deep in her bones, in her blood. It was in her family line all the way back. It kind of was reminiscent of Hannah's song back in the Old Testament. Hannah is, you remember Hannah. She's the mother of Samuel, the prophet. And Mary sings this song. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And it's a song about justice. It's a song about the poor being lifted up. It's this grand song. And she sings this magnificent song. And then she stays for about 3 months. She heads back to Nazareth in the hill country of Judea where Joseph is waiting for her. And sure enough, Elizabeth has her baby. And on the eighth day, she takes him with Zechariah. They take him to the temple to have him circumcised. That's when they were going to name him. And they were going to name him Zach Jr., of all things. Zechariah, they're going to name him. But Zechariah can't speak yet, and he's writing on a tablet, and he writes, "His name will be John." And he shows it, and all of a sudden, he can speak again, and he bursts out in song. And he bursts out in song. And his song is about people walking in the darkness and how they've seen a great light and how God's going to light this path of peace. All of those things happened before we get to the story in Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out, a census. So Joseph, he was from the house and line of David. So he had to travel to Bethlehem to register. And he had to take Mary with him. Mary, he was pledged to be married to her, but he wasn't yet. And she was expecting a child, and he knew it wasn't his. But he was warned in a dream that he should believe it. He should take her with him. And he did, and he took her with him to Bethlehem. And when they were there, the time came for her to deliver the baby, and she wrapped it in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a feed trough because there was no room for them in the inn, in the Cataluna, the guest house. There's no room for them. And I wonder at that part of the story every year, I wonder if this happened today, would Christ find room with all our busyness, with all our stuff? Sometimes our stuff gets in the way. Sometimes there's just no room. Meanwhile, in the fields nearby, there were shepherds. There are these shepherds, the night shift shepherds in the fields at night, and they were taking care of their sheep. That's when the angels appeared. It was, I believe that the angels were in the shadows when the baby was born. I think they just couldn't keep it to themselves, and they appeared to the shepherds, and they said what angels always say, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy, that in the city of David, this day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord for all people in all times and all places." And with that angel, there was a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." That's the story of how God became human. And I want to tell you that story. And here's why. It's because there are times when we don't really feel how much we matter. There are some times where we don't know how much we're worth. There's this line in this song, "Then he appeared, and the soul felt its worth." I love that order. It's not like we had our resume together and we were just worth it and had all of our ducks in a row, and then he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. And by joining himself, by joining God, by God joining himself to humanity, is this to say that humans have immeasurable worth, and that goes for you and all the people that you know and all the people that you love and all the people that you have a hard time loving and all the people that don't even believe. This is God's way of saying, "I am with you. I love you. I came to save you. I came to bring you home."